And we are back, and we are the Run Duo. I'm Tommy.
What's up, y'all? It's India. I'm here.
Yes, yes. Y'all hear that? Y'all hear that? I don't know, y'all. Is that who I think it is?
It's me. Oh, my goodness.
What up, India?
What's going on,
welcome
y'all?
Back, boy.
Literally welcome back.
Missed you so much.
Oh, you was doing good without me. You was doing good without me. You
man, when I would tell people, like, when I would tell people when I was getting ready to interview them, I go, oh, India's, you know, not feeling good. Yeah, they just jaws dropping. Now, what? India's not here. No, she's not. But I'm here as well. They were like, but India's not here?
It's
like,
all right.
No.
I did run into Ed the weekend of the BMR that weekend and their tenure. And he was like, yeah, I missed you on the podcast. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you and Tommy would be just fine.
Well, we had, we had technical difficulties and everything. But
yeah, he mentioned that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So, but we got it done eventually. But yeah, that was a great interview. If y'all have not heard that interview with Ed, the CMO of Black Men Run, talking about their 10-year anniversary, go back and listen. Mm-hmm. So much information. Great interview. That guy's great to talk to. But Indy, we got you back. Now, I don't know where we gonna jump into this at. You tell me where you wanna tell the people where you've been. You wanna talk about what you've been doing, anything at all, or you wanna just push forward?
I don't really listen. The way that life has been set up lately, my brain is not firing well. But I did. So you all haven't seen me since the race weekend. So that was a bummer of a weekend. Unfortunately, I did catch COVID and was under the table literally for a whole week. So it's crazy because this is the second time I've had COVID and this was the worst. And I'm also boosted and all that goodness. But for some reason, it really took me out. Your girl was in the ER. Like, it was a whole situation. So, but I am better. Of course, you know, coming back. Well, if anyone doesn't know, coming back from COVID is a little difficult on your lungs. So breathing and stuff. Girl, I live in a two-story home and coming up and down them stairs, child, be huffing and puffing a little bit. So running is a little bit of a struggle, but we in these streets. So that's what, you know, led me to my time of being off is that. And then just life has been life in the midst of getting better and getting well. The last time y'all see me on the pavement, I did participate in the PNC 5K. So that was my first run back. Since I missed that, the race weekend. And I was, you know what, Tommy, I was salty for missing the race weekend because not only did I have the race lined up, the 5K lined up, obviously the podcast that we, live podcast that we record on Fridays every single year with the race, I hate I missed that. And I had to deliver that news to Tess. She sounds salty via text message, but I know she wasn't. She wanted to make sure I was okay. But I could hear her, I could hear her sadness through the text message. And of course she checked on me. So thank you, Tess. But between that, and I was supposed to run the Atlanta, Alpharetta, what was it? No, it wasn't Alpharetta. It was the She Power 5K on Sunday. So it was supposed to have been a double medal weekend for me. But unfortunately, I got sick, so I was not able to execute that. And so, of course, I was supposed to run 4 or 5Ks in October, was only able to do 2. But that's okay. That's all right. You got to take care of your health.
Yeah, exactly. It happens sometimes. But the race was great. I mean, because, you know, usually I hadn't been able to make it out to the actual race day. But in this case, I ended up having, you know, I got to run the 5K because Heather couldn't run it. But it was great. Great time. Mm-hmm. People dancing and partying. I mean, every year when I do, you know, even when we're just doing the podcast, I forget how much camaraderie and, you know, the sisters and brotherhoods that are out there having a good time. So, you know, of course, Tess always puts on a quality event. It was great. Now, I will say this, because at one point I thought I wanted to run the half. And actually I did, but because Heather was going to run the 5K, I was like, okay, that's fine. I'll do virtual. I ain't going to lie to you. Running that 5K, that first hill, I was like, I am so happy. Running this half.
Because everybody does that hill.
Yeah.
Whether you run the 5K or the half. You're gonna get that hill. That one that you go down.
Yeah, coming in.
Coming in, like that's what you do. It's so funny because so I think I've mentioned Vanessa. She is the founder of the Game Changers, Team Game Changers. And this is basically, she has an organization that helps women of color to become RRCA certified coaches. Mm-hmm. And she helps them to build their business. And I do want to get her on the podcast hopefully soon. But her first meetup was here in Atlanta. And I have learned to not, I just tell people to hill train. I don't give them the full detail of the half marathon or even a 5K, because a 5K ain't flat.
No.
But I always just say, yeah, just make sure you add some hill training in there, you know, et cetera. Yes. But, and then of course I had to ask her at the end, I was like, you good? You know, your body hold up. She was like, girl, I'm like, I know. Cause I try not to scare people, cause everybody deals with hills very differently than I do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or than most people do. So at the end of the day, I let you get the introduction to Atlanta on your own, and not even just Atlanta, because that race is even different than Atlanta, inner city Atlanta. It's just different.
Yes, it's just definitely. So it was a great weekend. Sorry you missed it.
Yeah.
But yeah, everybody did miss you. Trust me. They were asking about you.
No.
But you know, we move on. PNC weekend. That was great.
Oh my gosh.
Talk a little bit about that. I wasn't able to come down.
Why you talking about people asking about me at the race? People was asking about you, PNC weekend. I was like, child, they was like, where's Tommy? So of course, it was Black Man Run 10-year anniversary. Majority of the guys ran the 10 miler for their 10-year anniversary. So it was a big meetup here in Atlanta. They had several events starting on like Wednesday of the week of the race. And so when I went to the event on, matter of fact, they start asking me about you at the expo or bib pickup. Mm-hmm. I don't even know who these guys were. Some people, they knew who I was. I didn't know who they were, but I was like, yeah, he's not here. Like, I'm assuming they think that me and you are attached to the hip. And so they always ask me about you. And I was just like, I don't know. So, but at race day, there were several people that asked me about you. Where's Tommy? Where's Tommy? I was like, he's not here. But it was interesting because the people just kept asking. And I was just like, okay, I guess they know who I am, because I don't like to assume people know who I am ever. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't like to assume that. But when they asked me where Tommy is, I was like, well, I guess they do know who I am. So they was asking for their BMR brother. Where is Tommy? He's supposed to be here.
Well, I couldn't. Well, no, I told her I was supposed to go to the banquet, but, you know, kids. It's
life.
Life. So I couldn't make it. I wish I had gone, because they had something on that Friday night. Should have gone to that.
Yeah.
But, you know, Fridays, I don't go out too much, but I should have gone to that because Saturday was just impossible. Trey had a party. Jasmine had a party. It was, you know, too much. But anyway, I wasn't gonna make it a race day because Heather was running the 10 miler. So and I don't know about you, but I'm not hauling around them two kids waiting for Heather to finish 10 miles. So I'm sorry, I just wasn't doing it. I was like, we gonna be at the house. Come and holler at us.
Well, it was a great weekend. Weather was amazing. The race day was good. Weather was amazing. Black Men Run showed out. Like, it was hundreds of them that came.
Yeah.
So it was really good seeing people flying from here, near and far. And I just mentioned them because I feel like they took over the race, which is great. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what we want. So it was a great weekend. The race was what I expected. I made it through. I listened to my body and just kind of chugged along. And yeah, we made it happen and we finished it up, hung out a little bit afterwards and enjoyed the day. So
yeah, it looked beautiful out there. Heather said it was
a nice
great
day.
Yeah, she said it was a perfect weather to run, you know, a 10 miler. So, you know.
Yeah, it was perfect weather because it's kind of hit or miss. You know, weather can be super cold here in Atlanta in certain times, but it was good. It was good.
Yeah.
It was good that weekend.
It was great. I mean, you know, and I plan on, because I haven't run with BMR in I don't know how many years.
It's been a minute, but you're still a brother.
I'm going to try to start running with them again, because they do stuff out at Stone Mountain. So I told, you know, Mark, I want to try to meet up with them at some point and do the runs that they do at Stone Mountain. But anyway, I am so happy their 10-year anniversary went off without a hitch. And from the photos, I was like, yeah, they were out in force. Yes.
They were deep. And yeah, it was great. It was great. Mm. And it seems like people enjoyed enjoyed the 10-mile route, which was good. I mean, obviously, if you're traveling, most people are going to want to do a 10-mile distance. So that was good. Of course, some people did the 5K, but they got a medal. And then, they got their BMR medal, too. But it was a great weekend. Obviously, a great event put on by Atlanta Track Club. So thank you all so much for facilitating that great event.
I do want to shout out Atlanta Track Club. Atlanta Track Club does such a good job with the kids. Trey loves all their dashes. Of course, we took them out to the dash for the PNC. Yeah. But if you don't know, if you're a person that takes your kid out to the dash, if you don't know, this year, if your kid did the Peachtree Dash and they did the PNC, is it the PNC that is part of the Triple Peach? I think it's the PNC. And you do the Thanksgiving dash.
Those are the three. Mm-hmm.
Then the kids get a Triple Peach.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yes. That's so sweet.
So if you've already done, if you brought your kid out, brought your kid out to Peachtree, brought him out to PNC, bring him out for Thanksgiving and let them get that their first Triple Peach. Mm. It might start a tradition.
Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah, that's exciting. You know, I think that they definitely have stepped it up and done some great things with the kids. And it's always good to see all the pictures and stuff. I don't know about y'all, but if y'all don't know who Trey is, go to Atlanta Track Club website. You will see Trey and on their Instagram, because Trey is all over their stuff. He gets the best photos, full stride, cheesing, smiling so hard.
Let me tell you something. So, and I don't really like to kill people with my child, but this was, so at the PNC dash, he's four, he's running with the other 4-year-olds. He has a friend that runs with him. This guy named Landon, his friend that went to daycare with him now is at pre-K with him. But his friend Landon was there as well, and they were side by side. And then there was this little girl out to the right. So they say go, Trey starts to take off, and this little girl cuts him off. And I was like, oh, no. Because remember you were there that time he fell?
Yeah.
I was like, he going to get discouraged. This little man got to her outside, caught up with her, looked at her, and then turned on the jets. I was like, this boy. Just grinning and smiling. I mean, it was beautiful. But anyway, it was
beautiful.
Amazing. Because I was really like, oh, he's going to be discouraged. He was like, nope. Let me go ahead and get around you and get my medal.
Right. That's so cute. I love to see it. It's just the joy that I see in all those pictures.
Yes.
And their joy for running right now is so good. And it's like the competition is not quite there yet, but they're just like really just truly enjoying themselves. And maybe Trey's competition might be a little bit there, but enjoying himself to the fullest. He probably didn't realize it. He probably's like, hey, I caught up to you. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like trying to be me. Yeah, he's just grinning. Like,
yeah, he's like, hey, I made it back. I might have failed, but I made it back.
He looked at her, and then he just took off. And the funny thing is, the little girl's dad is, like, running along. I wish I could get that video because her dad was, like, running along the side with the camera. I was like, oh, I wish I would have seen that. I saw it later. I wish I would have seen it and kind of got with him. Like, hey, can I see that video? But anyway.
Well, that's exciting. Yes. But, yes, so, bring the kids out there. I've been telling people, bring your kids, do your thing.
It's a great, the kids love every minute because, they do the little events that as well along with the dash. The kids love it. So, even if you don't run, bring your kids out. It's trust an exciting me, time. Hire them out so they can go to sleep.
Mm-hmm. And typically a lot of those events are on, some of them are on the day of and some of them are a day before. I think PNC was the day before.
Yeah, PNC is the day before. Peachtree is probably a week before. No, it's not. I don't even think it's a day before. It's like a week before.
It was the Sunday before the Peachtree, I think.
Was it Sunday? Yeah,
year.
Okay. Yeah,
because
all right.
We went to that one. And then I think Thanksgiving is the morning
of. Yeah, it's on the same day.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. But now, let's get into this New York City Marathon.
Yes. Congratulations. So, I don't know about you. Before we get into the stats, I had all the feels watching everything for the New York City Marathon. Just because we were there, it was so many moments this weekend. I was like, babe, telling Braxton, just this time last year, you was in New York City chasing me down on the app. And he was like, yeah, that is crazy that was a year ago. But it was just like all the feels knowing that we ran that race. And it's just a great race. Like the vibe of New York City, it's just totally different than any other world major marathon. And I think once you have run the race, it just gives you all the different feels as well. So it was just really good to see everybody that that was out there and that ran. I want to give a huge shout out, though, to Trish. She is one of our loyal listeners. She be messaging me about the podcast. Congratulations, girl. You completed the New York City Marathon.
Yes.
So it's really exciting. And for everyone else, too. But I want to give her a special shout out because I know she is a loyal listener of ours.
Yes, yes, indeed. Yeah, I was too. Like the start.
Yes.
When I was seeing the start, I was like,
oh yeah.
I remember that.
yes, the start, and when seeing people on the different bridges, and I'm like, oh, I remember that bridge, and just everything. It's just like, wow, like it's a different type of race. So congratulations to everyone, and congratulations to all the elite and the pros that were out there doing their thing. It was a pretty interesting race. I would definitely say a little bit more interesting on the female pro side than on the male, because those ladies were packed up for a while. They were definitely in a pack for a while.
Yeah, I agree with you. It wasn't a whole lot of suspense on the men's side, but mm-hmm. the suspense was, hey, can he break the course record, which he ended up doing. So I guess that was a suspense on that one. So on the men's side, and if I mess up names, I'm just messing up the names. Tola, he did it in 2 hours, 4 minutes, and 58 seconds, which, like mm-hmm. we said, is a new New York City Marathon course record. Not sure if Mr. Kipchoge is going to come over and try to break it, but I did want to say this. He was running in the same $500 one-time shot Adidas that the young lady broke the world record in not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
So he was wearing those. On the women's side, Helen Oburi. Now, kind of talk to us about the finish on this. Like, how deep did it go?
So basically, the women's pack stayed together. I think it was at least to about mile 20. There were over 5 of them
mm-hmm.
through mile 20. Now, of course, Helen was somebody to definitely look out for. The last couple of ladies are also, there are track stars. So they're really good on the track, and which means they have some kick in them. Of course, the kick may be a little bit different when it comes to finishing up a marathon after running 20, in the midst of running 20 miles. But Helen definitely finished strong. It was kind of one of those things. I think she was really sitting back to see when to make the move. Like I said, through mile 20, there was a big pack. What we consider a big pack. Sometimes when you see a world major around mile 20, you may have 3, 4, 5 people maybe. And it was a little bit over that. It was like 9 of them or so through mile 20. And then closer to the end, it was pretty close to the end to where she made the move and kind of pulled out. So it was kind of one of those things. It wasn't a long stretch. The other finishers were right behind her. So Helen finished in 2 hours, 27 minutes, and 33 seconds. Giddy finished in 2:27:29. And then the third place winner, Sharon Lakiti, finished in 2:27:33. So they were literally right behind each other. So it was not a huge gap for them, but it was all about who was going to have that last kick at the end. So
yeah,
really good to see that.
It was, Bridget Koske, she came in 4th, which, that's mm-hmm. a big name that you expected to maybe to, podium.
Yeah.
So it was, it sounds like when you stick, I guess if you stick together in that pack long enough, mm-hmm. that gives other people the opportunity.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you want to try to separate yourself earlier, because if you stay in that pack, that gives everybody a chance to win by a kick, who's got the best kick.
For sure. And I will definitely give a shout out to Kellen Taylor. She finished in 2:29:48. She was our top American in 8th place. And then, of course, Molly Huddle at 2:32:02. So it's always good to see Americans in the top 10. Of course, the female American leaderboard for pros was very thin. Like, it wasn't very many of them for Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, like the broadcasters mentioned, it's probably because the trials are coming up very soon.
True.
In February of 2024. So the later that you get in the year that you're racing a marathon, maybe less time that you can do a buildup for that. But, at the end of the day, I know that Kellen was coming back and wanted to really exercise her fitness. So really happy to see them on that side. on that
and
front.
Of course, you know, the Run Duo wants to do a big shout out to a former guest.
Yes, episode 62. If you have not listened to the episode, go
Nathan
listen.
Nathan Martin, who is at this time the fastest Black American-born runner as far as the marathon. He has the fastest time right now. He was the fourth American to finish in 2 hours, 16 minutes, and 16 seconds.
Yeah, yes, yes. Please go listen to Nathan episode 62. I feel like, Tommy, when we recorded that episode with Nathan, I won't say I think he was just budding in the world of racing or being noticed. I'm going to say that. I'm not going to say he was just budding because obviously he wasn't. He had to get to where he came from in some way. But he had come to the race and he was just really being noticed. And I think he was even put on our radar back then. And that was in 2020 when we noticed him. Mm-hmm. And of course he didn't do the race. He was running the trials.
Yeah.
And so
when
we saw him in the trials in 2020, we were like, who is this man? We must get him on our podcast. So congratulations, Nathan. Again, episode 62, if you want to hear about him, definitely go back and check him out. Doing amazing things. When I saw him lined up for the pros, I was just really excited to see him. And of course, excited to see some brown people at the starting line. And the other shout out is to Sydney. Sydney is also a gentleman that did an amazing job. What time did Sydney finish in? Because I think that he did pretty good.
2 hours, 14 minutes, and 34 seconds.
Yes, yes, yes. So amazing job, Sydney. Those are two African-American males that crushed it and that lined up with the pros at the New York City Marathon. And I don't know about you, but I don't take that lightly. And I think that's beyond amazing.
And I mean, I look forward to seeing both of them in Orlando for the trials, because they're both qualified for the trials at this point. So I look forward to both of them being there, you know, praying they don't get any injuries leading up to it.
Yes. Very excited. Very excited for that. And I think some people, I've had someone reach out to me about, like, why is it such a big deal between saying someone that is American-born Black person versus, like, because people that are from Kenya and things of that nature are Black people, too. And I think it's just knowing that they're American-born. Like, they're not... A lot of people assume that when it comes to distance running, there is going to be maybe an African person that's going to win because for their culture and for their background, they're very good at the sport and they're very good at running. So we understand that. So I just think it's important to always give additional kudos and that's not slighting anybody that is, you know, that is not American born. But I think there's additional kudos for American-born people that are doing amazing things.
I mean, I don't think it's any different when, you know, they go first American across the line. I mean, I don't see the difference. So, but I guess because we do have some Americans that have immigrated from Africa who are now Americans. You know, I don't care where you came from. You're American. Mm-hmm. You're American. But I mean, I understand what they're saying. But you know, hey, it is what it is.
Yeah, definitely. If you all are interested, definitely go on over to the Ted Corbett website if you're wanting to see the American born on the women and men who are in the standings for that. There is a list. And a lot of people say, oh, my goodness, I had some of these ladies or men have finally made the list. And that is on the Ted Corbett's website. And you can see who is currently in standing for the American born individuals that are in the lead for those distance running. So congratulations to everyone that has made the list.
Now, I was taking a look because, you know, Roadrunner, for every world major, they go back through and tell you what running shoes the leaders, the top 10 were wearing. And the thing, and I mean, I'm not going to go through all of them, but of course, on the men's side, you have the regular cast of characters, Nike, Adidas. You have a couple that are wearing Asics. Even a guy has the eighth finisher, who is the 17-time NCAA champion, Edward. He was wearing Skechers, which is interesting. That's the first time I've seen Skechers there. Mm-hmm. But the one thing, and then Hoka, of course. But the one thing I thought was interesting on the women's side is such a wider range of shoes. The winner was wearing Cloud Boom Echo 3, which I'm not really familiar with. and you saw Under Armour, you saw, of course, Nike as well, but and Adidas, but you saw Puma. Let's see, what else? Of course, Hoka, Saucony. You know, a it's a much wider range of shoes.
Just a whole bunch of Nikes.
Yeah, whereas men's like all Nike, all Asics, you know, all Adidas, which I thought was interesting. But of course, if you're a pro and you're wearing a shoe, you're wearing it because they're sponsoring you. Basically, that's why you're wearing it. So it made me think, like, is it because maybe women don't have the opportunity to get as much sponsorship at some of the at Nike and Adidas? Or is it because some of these smaller brands think it's easier to get a professional woman to sponsor, you know, running their shoe? It's just, I just thought it was interesting, you know, that
you felt like there's more variety on the women's side than the men's.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot more variety on the women's side. So I just thought, well, maybe they, you know, these, some of these companies that aren't in the running community aren't up here where you just automatically think about them. Maybe they get, you know, they go and try to sponsor these women because maybe it's easier than, say, trying to go up against Nike to get Eliud Kipchoge. You know what I'm saying? It'd be hard to get Eliud Kipchoge from Nike. You know what I'm saying? So,
but I'm pretty sure, too, like, I'm excited to see, because some of these brands that in the past have not been as exciting, like your New Balances and your Saucony. They're coming up with shoes to kind of level up with your Nikes. So I think that I'm excited to see where that will shift. That's a good call out, but I'm excited to see if that will shift as far as the sponsorship. And I think the excitement for the athletes to also sign with some of these brands. Like I'm always interested when people sign. Like I know that I'm drawing a blank on her name, is right on the tip of my tongue. Molly Seidel, she signed with Puma. And so it's kind of one of those things where, like, I was always interested. Like, I don't see Puma in this space as much as some of your other brands. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure there's a reason. And I think that there definitely is contract negotiation and, you know, things that come along with it as far as who's going to pay, you know, the coins for it and what that may look like and why is it appetizing for you. But I also think that there's a culture behind things. I think that when it comes to Nike, they are less recognized right now of appreciation of women and their culture. So I think that the other smaller brands, when I say women and culture, meaning Nike has been under a lot of heat in not appreciating women and the things that they do.
Yeah.
Whether that was from, I don't know why I'm drawing a blank on everybody, all these athletes' names, but not the young lady that was pregnant during her.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah, I can't remember her name. Yeah.
It's like right there on the tip of my tongue. But anyway, you know, just those type things steer people away from Nike, and not saying that they can't have it because clearly they still have Eliud Kipchoge. But I think on the women's side of things, I think that we as women look at a bigger picture than just saying, oh, I am represented by the biggest, you know, running organization. Mm-hmm. World, there's so many other things that come along with it. How am I going to be treated if I end up coming pregnant? What does that look like? If I end up, you know, what is going to happen if with our partnership, and what's the stipulations behind the contract besides me, you being a bigger brand and me being able to run it yourself?
Also, am I going to be paid same as the men? You know, if I'm a world major winner, I want to be paid the same as another world major winner, men or women. So,
into play. So I think that they're, and not saying that men don't negotiate on the men's side, but I think that there are so many more things that women have to ensure that are embedded in the contract to say yes. So,
Another thing I thought was interesting, because, you know, the Nike is getting ready to bring out, well, they haven't released it yet, the Nike Alpha Fly 3. Mm-hmm. It hadn't been released yet. But a lot of the Nike sponsored runners ran the Nike Vaporfly 3 as opposed to the demo. They ran in that one, and in the article they said, well, you know, hey, if you like what you like, you stick with it, which I always thought was interesting too, because, like, it would be hard for me to change a shoe. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I've been running in a certain type of shoe for a long period of time, it's not easy for me to just to switch over. So I always think that when they bring out a new shoe, is it easy for these runners to switch from, you know, the shoe they had last year to this new shoe they're bringing out?
You know what? I think that, so I used to, my mentality on shoes used to be like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think more everyday runners that I think more everyday runners do stick with it. Now I feel like we've seen more of these run influencers that have all these they're always getting mailed the newest shoe and they trial them out and they're doing well with them. But I can't imagine that they don't have certain little tweaks and feels as they always change shoes, because you got, you know, your drop is different, your, you know, it, whether it carbon plated or not, the cushion is different. Mm-hmm. I think that there you have those group of people, a very select group of people that can constantly change their different shoes. But I think that there's more of the everyday population that can't do that, because they're like, I'm not, if I feel a little niggle just because I changed shoes, I'm not doing it. Like, I don't want to, you know, do that. But then you also have your run influencers that do that, and they also have the ability to have your boots and your guns and all of these things. And their recovery and exercise and in between maintenance of their body may also be a little different when they have that accessibility. So,
well, you know what was crazy? So, you know, I run the Boston 11s.
Yep.
Or is it 12? I don't know. Anyway, one of those numbers. So that's what I've been running in. And at the race, I ran into somebody else. She was wearing the same shoes.
Okay.
And, you know, we started talking. She was like, you know what? I'm only wearing these because it matched my outfit.
Okay.
So I was like, okay. Because she was like, I feel like it's a little stiff.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't really feel that. But then because Adidas, you know, which works with the running Atlanta Track Club. Mm-hmm. Adidas was at the expo for the PNC. I went, you know, for Heather to pick up her number and everything. So I was just talking to a guy because I was trying to see if maybe they had a pair of those $500 shoes there. I just wanted to see them. But he was like, no, we didn't bring those. But then I started asking about the new Bostons. And he was like, well, the new Bostons aren't as stiff. They said that they did have a lot of complaints. And I started thinking, I was like, you know what? I've been running in stability shoes most of my running life, which are usually a little stiffer. And maybe that's why I didn't notice it.
Okay.
That's what I was thinking anyway. But he was like, yeah, the new Bostons, they're not as stiff. Because I was like, what's the reason I would want to switch? And he was like, they're not as stiff. You might want to try a pair out, demo a pair and see what you think.
Yeah, so, I definitely think as they increase on the numbers, they always change something. Like if they was to keep the exact same thing in a shoe, it's not going to be marketable, right? So I think that they do always change something in that aspect. So I don't know. I recently got the, so I run in Brooks right now, but I recently got the Glycerin GTS, which is a stability shoe, Glycerin GTS stability shoe, but it's the 12. And so it's a step up from the last ones that I've been wearing the last, I would say, couple year or so. And I was nervous to get those, and I made sure I stocked up on the previous edition because something has always changed. But I did feel a little change in those. And like you said, sometimes it's a cushion. They may add the smallest tweak. But when your body is used to one thing, it really does make a difference. So,
well, you know, we had both tried the Hoka, and I don't disparage anybody's shoes. They just didn't work for me, and they didn't work. You know, so I mean, you got to find where you fit in, which is, like I said, it's always interesting to me how pro athletes, like, you know, how do they do that? Like, if they switch companies, you know, they're sponsored by somebody new, you know, how does that work for them?
Right. Yeah. I think first of all, we have to understand that a lot of these athletes and pros are not running in just the shoe. A lot of times the shoe has been formed and assessed for them. They have so much technology and things out there. A lot of times they have some kind of special insole in the shoe. They're not running in the shoe that we get from off the street, from Running Warehouse or Road Runner Sports or Big Peach Running. Like, I don't think that any of the pros have a fresh shoe out the box. I'm pretty sure there's some kind of customization in order for them to be okay with running in it, that's specifically for them, and including insoles and things of that nature. So
now, India, and you remind me, I might have forgotten. Have we talked since Chicago?
No, I don't think so.
So we haven't talked about the new world record.
We did talk about the new world record. Nope.
Kevin Kiptum.
Yep, he was amazing.
2 hours and 35 seconds.
Yes, yes. That was beautiful to watch. I will definitely say that. So that was definitely beautiful to watch. And so while we're talking about him, so as far as since October 8th, 2023, so Kiptum has the world record, like you said, 2 hours and 35 seconds. And then Asifa on the women's side has the record of 2 hours, 11 minutes, and 53 seconds that was received, that she obtained in Berlin. So yeah. I don't know.
Times are dropping.
And I'm loving to see it.
You know what?
I'm loving to see it.
I had in my mind as an old man, mm-hmm. I had said, no man ever going to run under 2 hours. That's just impossible.
Oh, it's happening. It's happening. You know what? It's after happening that, soon.
After that, I really do believe that we got a shot. That we have a mm-hmm. shot of somebody. Now, how soon that will happen, I don't know. But that somebody has a chance. I don't know if it's... I mean, at Kipchoge's age, the wear on his legs, I'm not sure if he's going to be the one to do it, but I feel like somebody is going to do it.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen either at Berlin or Chicago, I think within the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll say within the next 2 years. If he's running 2 hours 35 on a and of course we know that a perfect day has to happen, right? The weather has to be great. Yeah. You're injury free. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to be on the Chicago or Berlin course because it's, you know, it's flatter, it's not as tactical. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think within the next before 2026 is happening.
Well, I hope I get to watch it. I mean, is there a Valencia marathon? Mm-hmm. I don't know, because that's a very flat course too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but I'm assuming that somebody would try to train up for a world major to break it there, because that's, you know, they know all the eyes are on it.
Definitely. Yeah, I definitely think that is definitely an option. Definitely an option. It's happening, and I'm glad that it's going to be. I personally feel like it's definitely going to be sooner than later.
Now, one last thing before we go. Mm-hmm. World Major Marathons. Did you hear about this? The Sydney Marathon.
Yes, I was just about to mention that. Mm-hmm.
So they are in the running to become the 7th World Major. And now, what was it that they, because I guess if you ran it, you got a provisional star or?
Yes. Or yeah. If you run it in 2024.
Okay, well. That's what it was mm-hmm. in 2024. So if you run it in 2024,
you get a provisional star.
Yeah. So
there are some people that are heavy on getting there for 2024 so they can get that provisional star. So they have not been officially named the 7th World Major, but it is definitely looking close that the Sydney Marathon will be having that. And that is Sydney, Australia for everyone.
Yes.
That.
Yeah. not Sydney, yes. Montana. Yeah, Sydney,
no,
Australia.
No, it is Sydney, Australia. And yeah, that would be an amazing... you know what I'll say about Sydney? I would be excited to do that, but that plane ride is not just going to Europe. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is like when I went to Bali for my honeymoon. Like, that is a ride. So that's definitely, if you're running Sydney Marathon, I would hope that you're really using that as a vacation and taking 2 weeks. I know people that have gone to Berlin and done Tokyo, and they're kind of out in and out. But I just really think that time change, between the time change, the flight, and how much it's going to cost to get over there, definitely lock that in for a 2 week vacation.
So, India, as both of us have 2 stars, does this mean if they become the 7th, does this mean we got no choice but to go to Sydney to get our medal?
That part.
Mm-hmm. I mean, come
on
now.
That means. But you know, I'm going to be completely honest with you, right in this moment. I will do my best to get 5 stars. I can't guarantee you how I'm feeling right now about Boston that I am even interested in running that race.
Ah, okay.
So I would be, because I feel like the World Major Marathons is about clout in so many words. Like,
it is
about status. I have mm-hmm. completed the World Major Marathons. You can now have status in your knowing that you did that. Like, there's nothing mm-hmm. more to the World Major Marathons than you selling me that you've completed it and you have one additional medal than people that have not done it. Mm-hmm. So like, for me, because I am right now anti-Boston by way of things that have happened with the race, the elitist mentality that they have there. I'm not really interested in doing that. I would be that girl that goes, completes all five world major marathons. I will go to Boston to do the 26.2 marathon that's done by the Pioneers and their team. And I will just accept that I have done what I needed to do. Like, that's kind of how I'm feeling. Like, I don't know if I even really want to run that course. So, but I would get my sixth. Let's just say that Sydney is at it. I'll get my sixth, and my seventh of undone would be Boston, for good reason, though. But I will run Boston, but it just won't be the marathon.
I'm interested to see how they handle that, though. Will they make it a 7-star, or will they keep it a 6-star and you pick the 6 you want to do?
Plus, that would be
interesting. Yeah, so that could be something that they could do as well.
Because that would be a different incentive.
Only people in the world that go, this is ridiculous. Boston, because Boston's the hardest one to get into.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. And most people, that's usually their last, and they usually have to raise the $10,000 to $15,000 to get into it.
So. Yeah, exactly. So I'm sure we're not the only people complaining about it. Yeah. And we live in the US. I can't imagine what it's like for people from other countries trying to get in to Boston. So, you know, maybe they'll do something like that. Maybe we need to do a write-in campaign and say, yeah, keep it a 6-star and we choose
and
the 6.
You choose which 6. That would, you know what? And if that's the case, I'm going to get my 6 stars. I'm gonna get 6, and Boston will not be included.
Well, and you know, I mean, I understand what you're saying about and I'm not really talking about Boston. I'm just talking about the 6-star in general.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when I ran Chicago, yeah, I didn't know what a world major was. I picked Chicago because it was flat and everybody said Chicago. And, you know, I'd never been to Chicago as a city. It wasn't until I physically got there that somebody said, you know, this is a world major, right? And I'm like, what? Because I saw all these people with shirts and they had all these different races crossed off on the shirts.
Right.
I didn't know what it was. Somebody had to tell me. So, you know, I just found it as to be something that, okay, I want to accomplish this just like I want to accomplish a marathon. Now, I'm not a streaker. I'm not one of these people that need to run a marathon in every state. I'm not a half marathon. I don't even need to run in every state. But this is something that I do want to accomplish, because the first time I heard it, I was like, oh, I want to do that. You know what I'm saying? I might want to do all the continents. That might be something I want to do.
Yeah.
At some point. I might want to do that.
It's literally a goal to achieve.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to say that you've done it. Like, there's nothing else outside of it. You get your name on a website, you get an extra medal, and you can just say in the world of running that you have done that. So,
and Indy, you see how much I post. I might not even post it. I might get my 6 stars.
You gonna do it?
Heather have to come take the photo, because I might not even post it. Just hang it up. Just, hey, this is something else that I have accomplished in my, you know, running. I'm putting quotes up. Career.
Right. Yeah. No, exactly. And you know what? Honestly, for me, it'll probably be a while before I do another marathon. But
yeah.
And also, just because, like, when you're going over to Tokyo, Berlin, London, I'm not going overseas and be up against a time cutoff. Like, I need to be in the best shape of my life, getting myself together and not be nervous about that. You don't spend thousands of dollars to go to another country and be in jeopardy of finishing in time. So
yeah,
I'm not here for that. So, and I know Tokyo is amazing. Like, they will sweep you off that course and you will be all the way in Tokyo without nothing.
And
so,
don't know how to speak the language. Right. Over there, like, trying to explain something to them. Like, I don't want to hear that.
Not doing that. So, you know, but those are things that I think about, but I definitely think that it's a goal, but not even just because it's a world major, but who wouldn't want to run in a whole nother, you know, a different country and be able to, you know, do a race, do a marathon. Like, that's just in its own is exciting. And of course the world major is attached to it, but I would also love for somebody to come up with another type of world major challenge. And maybe not, it's not called world major, but come up with another challenge that's exciting.
Yeah.
That makes people want to go to different races. I'm waiting on somebody to come up with it.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
So,
well, we got anything else today, India?
I think that's it. It was so good chatting with you. It's been a minute, Tommy. It's been a minute.
It's been so long, I forgot. I was like, have we talked about this yet? Let me see.
Think we missed Chicago. We missed Chicago.
Because Chicago was the weekend before the race, or the same weekend.
It was the same weekend.
Yeah, that's why.
Weekend,
yeah, we did.
So that's
yeah,
why.
We did. Yep. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, cool. It was great speaking with you. Now, before you go, just in case you disappear again, if somebody's trying to find you, how would they do that?
Well, if you are trying to find me for a business inquiry, definitely hit me up on my website at milesfromindia.com. I am definitely still race announcing and everything, so I have another race coming up in December, so definitely hit me up if you're interested in race for me, race announcing, that is here in Atlanta or beyond. But you can also find me on Instagram at Eye of Indigo Runs. That is typically where I do my updates, so definitely hit me up there.
And you can email me at thomaswmitchell2@gmail.com or hit me up at tmitch68 on Instagram. Another great episode, India. Glad to have you back. And we will see y'all again in 2 weeks. Peace.
All right.